You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you might not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average. They make it super simple. Pop over to progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with coverage options tailored to your choices. Plus, you'll see which discounts you may qualify for, like the online quote discount or savings for paying in full. In fact, 99% of Progressive Auto customers earn at least one discount. See if you could save when you switch to Progressive. You'll feel good about making a savvy choice. Visit progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little extra cash back. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings will vary.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I got to say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
If you love Something Was Wrong and want to help support the show, become a community contributor on Apple Podcasts or purchase a sticker from our sticker shop at BrokenCycleMedia.com. Thank you so much. Something Was Wrong is intended for mature audiences and includes topics that may be upsetting. This season, we'll be discussing friendship betrayal, religious abuse, stalking, sexual assault, and other serious topics. So please listen with care. Some names have been changed for safety or anonymity purposes. The podcast and any linked materials should not be misconstrued as a substitution for legal or medical advice. Sources and resources can be found in the episode notes. Thank you so much for listening. Last time on Something Was Wrong.
September 21st, 2022 at 8:29 a.m. Text from Allison. Please keep me and my family in your prayers. At 8:11 a.m., Waverly's lung collapsed and they tried to do everything, but it wasn't enough. At 8:14 a.m., Waverly passed away. I sit down next to Daniel and I go, "The baby died." He goes, "Okay, I have to say something, but you're gonna think I'm crazy." And I go, "Say it." And he goes, "What if the baby's not real?" That was kind of that come to Jesus moment where both of us were fully on board with this idea that this girl had just faked a pregnancy. Professor Knob, you could see just this wave of relief go over her. And she goes, "I've known about this for so long."
She said, "I found out on Tuesday if I get kicked out or not."
That was on a Thursday. And then on Monday, she was back in classes. She said, "Are you coming on Wednesday? We're supposed to be starting our team project. If you're on the brink of expulsion, why are you worrying about a project?"
September 27th, 2022, we were in Professor Locke's class. Professor Locke was telling us how we needed to go to this town event and write a story and interview certain vendors that were going to be at this event. I showed up late to class. Everyone had partnered up, and the only person that didn't have a partner at this time was Allison. So being late, guess who's partners with Allison? She was very excited about that. She texted me during class and said, "We're gonna F shit up together this weekend," with a laughing face. And I said, "Ha ha ha, you bet. I do not want to go to this event outside of class with her, knowing what she's done. But this is a class assignment." She texted me, "I hope there's alcohol." This event is at 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. in the town with lots of families. Like, there's face painting and little kids running around. What are you talking about? Anyways, it turns out the event got canceled because of a storm. In place of that, we had to just reach out to some of the vendors that were supposed to show up. October 1st, 2022, at 9:34 p.m., I texted her. She missed class the day before. So I said, "Hey, girl, how are you doing? Missed you in class the other day." She said, "At 11:44 p.m. that same day, I was in the hospital. I'm sorry." And I said, "OMG, I'm sorry. You're back though, right?" And she said, "Yeah, I was sent on Wednesday for a suicide attempt." I said, "I'm sorry to hear that. I hope you're feeling somewhat better now." I'm not believing anything she says to me. She says, "Not much, but I'm okay." I didn't answer. October 3rd, 2022, at 11:55 a.m., she says, "Are you going to class today?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." Then she said, "Then I guess I'll go," with a laughing face. I said, "Haha, yay." And then at 1:56 p.m., she texted me, "I actually won't be there today, LOL. I think this class may have started at 2:15. So I said, "Why not?" She said, "I am feeling really sick because I got started on a higher dosage of medicine. I'm nauseous and dizzy." And I said, "Aw, okay, feel better." She said, "Thank you. I'll be back tomorrow, though, for movie day," the laughing face. We were going to be watching a movie in our journalism class the next day. I said, "Good, haha." October 3rd, that same day, at 8:13 p.m., she texted me, "I shall be hungover tomorrow." And I said, at 10:26 p.m. that same day, "Drink plenty of water. I'm trying to keep it light but friendly, but just not give her the responses that she wants. I just didn't want to feed into that." So October 4th, 2022, at 9:27 a.m., she says, "I decided on a theme for my party finally." I said, "Oh, what is it?" And then, "It's Mean Girls themed." I said, "OMG, I love it. I'll send you the new flyer."
Get in, losers. We're celebrating Allison's 22nd birthday and Halloween.
She sent me three different versions of it. And then finally she says, "Okay, this is the final one. Ha ha." I said, "Very cute." That was at 11:12 a.m. We were having our movie in class that day. And then she goes at also 11:12 a.m., "Where are you? I need you." And I said, "On my way." She said, "Okay, good. We have food. Pizza, LOL. I'm still HBUN. And then she wrote hungover. It was almost like she was trying to fake her messages to look like she was drunk or hungover or something. It was weird. And I went to class and there she is looking fine. And she grabs me a slice of pizza that Professor Locke had brought in. And we watched the movie and I left. We were so certain that she had lied and faked this pregnancy. I wanted there to be some kind of retribution. I didn't want to see her hurt. I figured she was going through a really tough time, but I just wanted the school to know, because that scared me. Just knowing that she was so confident in doing this, it scared me thinking about what else she was capable of. Professor Knob asked me directly if I would report her and share my evidence that I found with them. I said yes to Professor Knob. I sent them an email and said, "Hey, Professor Knob spoke to me and asked me if I would come to you guys and share what evidence I have with you regarding this matter." And they were already aware of it. So I set up an appointment. I go to the office and I speak with a man who was in charge. I shared with him what I knew. And he said a couple things that were important. He said, "If I share that information, I'll have my name attached to it. So she'll know that I'm the one that brought her name up and shared my evidence." I was on the fence about that. It's hard because I did want my name attached to it. I want her to know it was me. I want to take accountability for what I'm doing. But at the same time, it was scary not knowing what she's capable of. If she was able to pull off such an extreme lie like that, I was scared of her coming after me. And what I was most scared about was her having my apartment location. And I was planning on staying there for another year or so. But I understood that if I'm sharing this information, it's only right that she knows it was me that did it. At the end of our conversation, I asked him straight up, "Do you want my evidence? Because I will, if you see fit that you need this." I wanted to make sure that she was going to be expelled from the school because I didn't want her to be able to lie to anyone else like she just did. I thought it would be the best for everyone if she was removed from the school. And I wanted the best for her. I wanted her to find maybe a rehab or some kind of mental health facility where she was able to get the help she needed. I was angry, but I also felt for her. I figured she's not getting that help here. I'll never forget this. He said to me, "You're welcome to share it, but I advise you don't." I'm not sure if he was supposed to be telling me this or not, but he said, "I'll tell you this much. What I'm allowed to say is that we pretty much have it covered. We don't need yours." And that was a relief because I had no idea who had gone to that office. And it turns out it wasn't other students that had gone to the office. It was other professors. It was so relieving to know that this was going to be taken care of. And in my head, I thought to myself, okay, if I hear back and she doesn't get expelled and things go on normally, maybe they don't have the evidence that I have and I can always go back to the office and share what I do know. After leaving, I immediately responded to Daniel and I told him how it went because he was asking and I said, "We're good. We don't need to do anything. They've got it." And I remember talking to Professor Na because she had asked me how it went too. She honestly knew more than I did because she's, you know, friends with the other department members.
Thanks to Jones for sponsoring this episode. Whether you want to quit or cut back, Jones meets you where you're at with personalized support to help you manage cravings, navigate withdrawals, and build better nicotine habits that actually last. With Jones's science-backed and FDA-approved nicotine mints, there's no smoke, no vapor, and none of the harmful byproducts that come from smoking or vaping. Just a discreet mint that doubles your chances of quitting and works as a healthier nicotine alternative. Plus, with a personalized step-down plan that's designed to gradually lower your nicotine intake over time, Jones helps you build a better relationship with nicotine. Check out Jones to start building a better relationship with nicotine today. Visit quitwithjones.com/SWW to take their free quiz to find your quit plan and use code SWW to get 15% off your personalized quitting journey. That's quitwithjones.com/SWW. The support you need starts now. Thanks to Jones for sponsoring this episode. Jones Mints are a nicotine replacement therapy that is FDA approved to help you stop smoking and vaping. Available for those 18 and older. Thank you. I'd like to thank Chime for sponsoring today's episode. Let's be honest, everyone hates bank fees, right? That's where Chime comes in. Chime is changing the way people bank. They're not like traditional old banks who charge fees and gatekeep perks and rewards. Chime offers the most rewarding fee-free banking, all with no overdraft fees, no monthly fees, and no minimum balance fees. Plus, you get 5% cash back on Chime Card in a category of your choice, like gas or groceries. All while building credit through their regular everyday spending with no credit check. Join the millions who are already banking fee-free with America's number one choice for banking. Head to chime.com/SWW. That's chime.com/SWW. Sign up now. It only takes a few minutes. Chime is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services and Chime Card provided by Chime's bank partners. Qualifying direct deposits required. Terms and limits apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details. Thank you.
October 5th, 2022 at 11:51 a.m. You won't be seeing me on campus anymore. I was expelled today. OMG, what? Question marks? Acting as if I don't know. And at this point, I did already know from someone that she was expelled. I didn't know if that was effective immediately. I didn't even know why she was expelled, if it was for the baby incident or if it was something else. So I said, "Expelled for what?" And she said, "For having been pregnant. And because I was out for 2 weeks, my grades dropped. So they expelled me for, in quotes, having sex and allowing my grades to drop. And because I was expelled, I'm also banned from campus." Which is such a funny thing to say. I can imagine getting expelled. I've actually known people that were kicked out of this school. But to be banned from campus is so extreme. It's like they see you as a threat.
Totally. There's got to be more to the story here, ma'am.
Exactly. I'm like, you are missing some key details. But at this point, I know she's lying, and I think it's hilarious. She said, they can expel you for sex, even though I was raped, not consensually having sex, but they don't give an F. If I went to another school, I would have to start my entire 4 years over now because they won't send my records. Then she said, I'm appealing it so I have the opportunity to get my credits moved. I don't want to come back to our school, but I'm not starting over completely. And I wrote, I'm just confused because even if you have sex, it says in the code of conduct, you won't be disciplined for it. She's so tricky with how she speaks to me. I just remember feeling so frustrated because everything I would say, she would agree with and be like, exactly, that's why I'm trying to appeal it. So then it would make me feel like she tried to make me feel dumb almost. So then I said in reply, also, I thought you won a court case with the guy proving it was rape. And that was another big thing. Of course, if you were raped, the school's not going to penalize you for that. And she said, I did, but they don't care about that. And then she replied to her own text about they are expelling me for disruption to community and said, this is the main reason for expelling me, disruption to community, in quotes. And I said, disruption to community? That doesn't even make sense, LOL. She said, oh, I know. But apparently, when my water broke and I left, it caused students and faculty to become concerned and worried, and it disrupted the learning environment, which is against the rules. Can we just take a moment? I was in that class. No one even turned around besides me or Riley. And we kept watching the movie that we were watching. How absurd.
What is your response in the moment when you're getting these messages?
Oh, I'm sending everything to Daniel. I'm sending it to my roommates. I'm like, am I crazy? What is she saying right now? In what world does that make sense?
Did it feel like a juxtaposition to your experience of your professors?
Even with that specific professor, I'm thinking, they've been so good to me, so lenient. Anytime I was dealing with maybe a family death or I got in a car accident one time and even just being sick, every professor I've had was more than understanding and so willing to give me grace and extensions and even just pray for me and say kind words. So that went against everything I knew. So I said, wouldn't that mean Locke or someone in the class filed a complaint then? She said, yeah, Locke did. That doesn't seem like something she would do, question mark. And she said, she didn't technically report it, but when I left, people got concerned. I said, I'm sorry, but that just doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't seem like grounds for expulsion. And she once again agrees and says, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm appealing it. It's a 30-point fine for being a disruption to the community, which is what they expelled me for. And then she sends me a screenshot, which it's so ridiculous. I'm going to send you these. She sends this notice of violation that says, appeal your violation within 48 hours. In this notice of violation, it says, Dear Allison, your violation was recorded on October 5th, 2022, 11:29 a.m. The violation, points, and fine are listed below. Incident date, 9/22/2022, 12 a.m. Violation. And then she drew an arrow. Why did she do that?
Wait, did she cover something there?
Yes. Oh my God. Wait. She totally blocked something out. So it says violation with no colon and a giant space. So violation, no colon, giant space, giant black drawn in arrow, disruption to university community. Points, colon, 75. Fine, colon, $0. If you, points, 75. Okay. So I understand that listeners may not know the point system. So just to put it in perspective, one time I was late for curfew and I got 2 points. 30 points can get you expelled.
Holy shit.
30 points gets you kicked out. So 75 points is insane and unheard of.
Especially for disrupting a class?
It's so funny. So points 75, madness. And then it says, if you wish to appeal the violation, points and or fine, visit this website. All appeals must be submitted within 48 hours of receiving this notice.
Can you get points taken back down?
Yes and no. So the points stay unless you appeal them, but you can do other things to stay in the school and not get expelled.
You can do like community service usually.
Yeah. So I said, wait, I'm just trying to understand. This still isn't making sense. You going into labor is like someone breaking their leg during class. Like, of course, people will be concerned, but they won't get fined for being a disruption to the community. And why is the incident date the 22nd? I thought you went into labor on the 20th, so wouldn't that be the incident date? Also, where does it say you're getting expelled? And why is it 75 points? The highest you can get is 30. That's what I thought. I had no idea the points went higher than that. So she said, they didn't file the report until the 22nd, which was the day after I gave birth. And you can get more than 75 points. 30 is when they do the whole review of it. Wait, this is interesting. Look where it says eligible to reapply. There's a blank space.
Interesting. It says choices, no. Permission, restriction, no. Dismissal, no. Expulsion, yes. No return, no. Eligible to reapply, blank. Restorative practices, no. Pathways, no. Retention, no. Other, campus ban. And then at the bottom it says mandatory substance testing date, blank.
Campus ban. Who gets banned from campus? So I said, okay, so 30 points for being a disruption, but what are the other points for? Because again, I'm looking at the code of conduct and I see that a disruption to the community can be 30 points, but definitely not 75, meaning she had some combined points. So she said, once again, exactly what I'm saying. There's nothing saying I should have obtained 75 points. We're hiring a lawyer. The reason the professor reported it is to get back at me for last year. We don't know where all the points came from, because I'm pretty sure even the code of conduct doesn't say it's 30 points for disruption. So that's when she sent a picture of her computer, and it's the website that they directed her to from the initial email. And it says, sanctions, colon, community service, colon, 0 hours, fines, $0, points, 75, campus ban, disciplinary probation, dash, 30 plus points, discipline report, expulsion, outcomes, CRC. I said, what's CRC? She said, conduct review committee. It means the review board at the university reviewed my case and made the decision. She says she copy and pasted from the code of conduct. She wrote, for most 30-point violations, a conduct review committee, CRC, comprised of members of the office, will consider the facts and relevant information and make a determination as to whether, by a preponderance of the evidence, the student violated the student honor code. The student does not have a right to attend the CRC. The AD endeavors to give students an opportunity to review and respond to the evidence that will be considered by the CRC before it meets, where possible, but such an opportunity is not required. And then she wrote, that's from the code of conduct. And I said, okay, I just want to get this straight. So the CRC reviewed your case, and because you went into labor during class, you racked up 30 plus points and are being expelled. She said, now this is where the paragraphs come in. No, it's not because I went into labor. It's because I missed my last class of the day on Tuesday, Thursday, and students were talking about me being in labor in class. And everyone was worried, and apparently they weren't doing their work, and the professor reported it the following day because I was disrupting the class from learning. The professor seems to forget it wasn't up to me to go into labor. It's not like I chose to do so. Like, what the actual F? The professor who reported me did it to get back at me for last year. I know that's why she did it, and it worked, I guess. And she's talking specifically about Professor Bolt. And I said, what is she getting back at you for? So then Allison wrote, because last year, in the spring semester, I was going to be out of town on the day of my final exam for that specific class. I had it approved by the dean that I would not be in class, and I just needed to speak with the professor to arrange for me to complete the exam another day. The professor ended up giving me a 0 for the final exam because I didn't come in person, and she refused to allow me to give my presentation another way. I reported her to the dean because she gave me a 0 after they had approved my absence. Because she did that, she went against the dean and got in trouble and had to allow me to come in person after the semester ended and had to allow me to present for the opportunity of receiving a real grade. She almost lost her job because she had been reported multiple times that semester by other students, and then she went against the dean. And then she wrote, I'm so confused now because they said I'm banned, but the lady just told me if I'm appealing it, I need to continue going to classes as normal until the appeal process is completed. So now I'm unbanned? WTF. And I said, wait, what lady told you that? And she said, the same one who said I was banned. She sends me a screenshot of some emails she wrote to the woman. Also, just to be clear, do I need to attend my other class today or am I banned? What a crazy email. And then the woman writes, you will still attend class. Nothing is official until the appeal happens. I hope this answers your questions. Allison said after she sent that, I was able to contact a lawyer and they said that while the school can make up their own rules about expelling and stuff, I can take legal action to either sue them for an entire reimbursement of my tuition for the time I attended the school. I can sue them for holding my records and not allowing me to transfer them to another institution, since that's technically not stated in their rules. It would be considered illegal for them to hold my credits and records and not release them, especially if I have paid tuition to attend the university.
Do you remember what it felt like when you were receiving these messages? What is going through your mind?
I was trying to get her to admit to me that she lied. And I knew I wasn't going to get that, but I just want to call her out and show her that, hey, the school isn't doing this to you. You're making this up. I'd be like, okay, well, I got her now. And then she would respond with, exactly, that's why I'm getting a lawyer. And I'm like, okay, you can't keep doing this. You got to end this at some point. I took off from texting her. She had last sent that one at 2:22. So then at 4 p.m., I replied, yeah, that's good. Sounds like you should be able to get at least your records back. Keep me posted on what the school says. She wrote, I've submitted the request to appeal, but with break starting tomorrow, I won't hear back until next week. I didn't answer. Then October 11th, 2022 at 11:15 a.m., are you coming to class? And I said, no, my throat's really sore and I feel like crap. She said, our assignment is due tonight. So this is the assignment she's talking about where we were supposed to go in person to this event. It was really rainy the day that the event was supposed to take place. So we didn't end up going in person, but we still had to do the assignment. I said, yeah, I know, I've been working on it. She says, me too. I can send mine to you after class. I said, sounds good. I'm going to the health center to make sure it's not strep, but we can FaceTime later, ? I don't want to get you sick. She said, works for me. Then at 4:12 that same day, I said, did we have to use the same vendors as we said we were doing in class? She said, yeah, it's all one assignment together. So we just do it as one paper. I said, we're doing blank clothing or this artist. And she said, oh, I don't know, actually, ... Hold up, let me ask Locke. I said, KK, did she answer? A little while later, she said, not yet, but it's 4:30, so she probably won't see it until at least 5:30 when she gets home from her kid's school. Why does she know her kid's schedule? What? I guess I was just so sick that day, I didn't really question that, but it's almost like she's showing off that she knows her schedule and knows her personal life.
That's bizarre, especially considering what's to come.
Yeah, I guess it didn't really seem out of the ordinary to me because, you know, our professors would talk about their lives and things. Not in too much detail, but I guess it wasn't crazy to think that she knew that. But looking back, it's weird. I said, okay, why don't we reach out to both people so at least one answers? She said, that works for me. I'm actually out right now. I'm going to see if the one place is open. I sent a screenshot of a DM that I sent the artist. I said, this is what I sent. Want me to DM the other store too? She said, that's perfect. That's similar to what I sent. Haha. I also DM'd them. And I'm thinking, did you? Because you're not sending me any screenshots. I said, want to help me come up with questions? She said, yes. So I sent her a screenshot of the questions I already had. And I wrote, so far. And then she actually gave me a few questions to ask. She said, I'm in the middle of a panic attack, so I'm not sure these questions make sense. LOL. I don't think she's having a panic attack. Even if she is, it's probably about lying about pregnancy and stuff. I'm trying to get my homework done. I'm sick right now. So I said, oh no, you're doing fine. Why are you having a panic attack? I wish I didn't say that because I don't want to give her the attention that she's looking for. Because that's what it is. It's an attention grab. And she wrote, I went through something kind of traumatic last night and I'm just not dealing with it the best. And I knew that she was looking for me to say, oh no, what happened? But I just said, I'm sorry to hear with a sad face. And then I sent my finalized list of questions. And she wrote, I think those are good. And then she replied to my, I'm sorry to hear, and said, it's okay. It's just stressful. And I've been through enough trauma recently. So adding on to that is just a lot. I'm not asking you what happened. I don't want to know. I know it's going to be another lie. So I just said, yeah, I'm sure. Any update with the appeal? And she said, well, the girl who was handling it has been removed from it per my request. She was hindering the investigation and giving false info to the case, so we asked for her to be removed. So now I have until Friday to get all my info. After that, they will review it over the course of a few days. Then I will speak with the president via email or phone call and explain my evidence and my side. And then hopefully after that, I'll have an answer. So it'll still be at least another 2 weeks before we know. So for now, I'm supposed to just go to class and work like usual. I answered at 9:26. I said, oh, wow, that's good that she's removed. Also, it says we need two sources. Any thoughts? She said, shoot, I forgot we needed two. I'm sorry, I haven't been much help with any of this. I honestly don't even know what's happening anymore. I'm struggling bad, and I'm not in the mental or physical state to be helpful tonight. If you want to just turn it in under your name and take the credit, you can. I don't want to take credit for your work. So I wrote, okay, I'm sorry you're going through it. Hang in there with the heart. I'm not gonna let you take credit for my work because I hate that, especially in college. I can't stand when other people don't do their part. She's not doing anything she's supposed to be doing. I'm writing all of this by myself. I'm doing all the interviews by myself. Why would I let her take credit? She wrote, are you going to just submit it with your name? If so, I'm just gonna email Locke and let her know so she isn't confused. And I wrote, yeah, I'll add a little note in the comment section when I turn it in, and I'm sure she'll let you submit it late, so don't stress too hard. She said, I'm just gonna email her and tell her we never had the opportunity to meet up to work on it, so we're just doing them separately. Maybe she'll cut us both a little slack that way. You need slack, not me. So I wrote, I don't know about that. I'm planning on submitting it before midnight, and I'm not too worried on my end. Maybe just be upfront and tell her what you're going through. I'm sure she'll understand. She wrote, that's the issue, ... She won't. My teachers aren't cutting me any slack. They're on my tail about everything. I have a few paragraphs written, but I wasn't sure what you had, so I don't know if any of it would even fit. Such a lie. I know you have nothing written. So then she wrote, I've just been struggling really bad, and my ex came over last night, and we got into a fight, and I had to spend my afternoon today at the hospital getting all the evidence collected with the police. I'm not asking you to put me on the paper. I honestly don't care about the paper. I'm just dealing with a lot, and I'm just overwhelmed. And I wrote, I'm really sorry you're going through so much. I really don't know what else to say other than just to talk to Locke in person. She should be understanding, but if you're scared she won't be, I can be there with you when you talk to her. I feel like I would be dishonest if I added your name to the assignment. It's more of a personal conviction for me, but I really hope she'll be understanding of your situation for this assignment. And she wrote, I emailed her and told her I was just going to submit my own piece tomorrow because I haven't been able to work on it the last week with things happening in my life. I said, okay, don't stress about this project. If anything, you'll get 10% off for being late. She wrote, yeah, she doesn't usually give late grades unless it's 3+ days late. At this point, I don't care. I have 100 in the class. It's not worth the stress with everything I'm already dealing with. I had already emailed Professor Locke that I was going to be missing class, and I had a note from the health center because I had a sore throat. And she emailed me back, was so nice, just told me what I missed in class and what I needed to finish for the day. And I wrote, hi, Professor Locke. Thank you for getting back to me with this. I also wanted to bring up the assignment. I was supposed to be working with Allison, but she never tried to meet up or help with the assignment and ended up texting me saying she was not going to help due to her mental state. She asked if I was going to turn it in with just my name, and I said yes, to which she responded that she would email you stating the reason she was submitting it late was because we never had the opportunity to meet up. I'm just emailing you so that you know I did try to work on this with Allison, but she did not want to. Additionally, she did not help me with the pre-work assignment prior to this. I see that on Thursday we are being assigned community groups, so I'm asking that if you are coming up with the teams, please put me in a group without Allison. Thank you, Summer.
I'd like to thank Shopify for sponsoring today's episode. If you've been sitting on a business idea, Shopify makes it easy to make it happen. Everything you need to start selling is included and ready from day one, including the moment your first customer is ready to pay. Shopify checkout helps more of them finish their purchase. And when they come back, their details are already saved. One tap and done. And because Shopify handles the setup and checkout, you have more time to focus on your business and life. Shopify powers millions of businesses worldwide, from household names like Mattel and Gymshark to small businesses just getting started. With Shopify, nothing stands between your idea and a real business. So go make it one. Start your free trial at shopify.com/SWW. Start your free trial at shopify.com/SWW. I'd like to thank our sponsor, Avocado Green Mattress. If you're looking for an organic mattress that sleeps cool, relieves pressure, and supports your body so you can enjoy deep, restorative sleep, look no further than Avocado Mattress. Every mattress they make uses healthy, natural materials, and they're even handmade. What really got me was being able to go in and feel it for yourself. You can actually walk into an Avocado showroom to find their mattress at a retailer near you. And once you lie down, you'll just know. Avocado products are made, not manufactured, and thoughtfully crafted with real materials to deliver lasting comfort and support. You can experience them in person at an Avocado showroom or a premier retailer near you. Or shop online at avocadogreenmattress.com/SWW to check out their mattress and furniture sale. That's avocadogreenmattress.com/SWW. avocadogreenmattress.com/SWW. Thank you.
On October 5th, 2022, she texted me, "Our school expelled me, so I'm no longer a student." I said, "Oh my goodness, I'm so sorry to hear that, Allison." And she replied, "I'm appealing it though." She literally sent me, a day later, schoolwork, and I didn't respond. I was over her at this point. On October 14th, she texted me and said, "I'm not going to be in class." I emailed Professor Knob, and she hasn't responded, but I was referred to a cardiologist, and they're going to see me at 2 p.m., so I can't come to class because it's literally in my heart, and I have an issue, is what she said. And I said, "For today?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Okay, I'll let her know." She goes, "Thank you." On October 16th, she texted me a photo of her laying in a hospital bed. I'm assuming it was at the psych ward, and she sent no context to it. I said, "I hope you're doing okay. However, I've asked Professor Knob to remove you from our group because it's not fair for me or our other student to be left without a partner 3 separate times for presentations, especially so last minute. I'm just getting a little bit frustrated, and although it's not inherently anybody's fault, I think it's best if we split up so it's fair for me and our partner, and fair to you. I understand you completed partial slides, but we'll alter them and move on as a team of 2 from now on." And she told me, "I've already told her to remove me. This wasn't even my decision. I was brought to the psych ward against my will." I said, "I'm not saying it was, but with the track record of missing so many assignments, I think it's best to have separate teams so everything is fair." She said, "Yeah, that's fine. It's not like I want this either. Missing classes and assignments hasn't been my decisions, Daniel. I don't know why she'd even keep me in the group because I've requested her several times to remove me and she said no." I said, "Well, that's not true because she asked James and I if we wanted to keep you in our group because she suggested removing you from our group, but James and I said we'd let you stay in our group and give it another chance. But after 3 times, I think it's best just to split up." She said, "I literally emailed her last assignment and asked if she could remove me and she said no. You guys wanted me in the group still and she didn't want me doing the assignment by myself unless I had to. The last thing I said to her was, 'Allison, I don't know. It's just been too many ups and downs and inconsistencies. I think it's just best if we split into different teams.' She said, 'That's fine, Daniel. I just hope you're never sent to the hospital for suicide. I've been doing my best, despite the fact that I've received no support from anyone on this freaking campus. I'm most likely to be kicked out of the school anyways, so whatever.' And I didn't reply to her. This was the last page of the book because I was so over her, and it just did not make sense to me.
October 18th, 2022 at 4:03 p.m., I sent her a text. This is after she was allegedly in the hospital for a suicide attempt, and she was saying that she wasn't going to have her phone, but then she was also posting pictures, and she was saying that the doctors are going to keep her there for a week. This is where I confronted her. I said, "Hey, Allison, I'm not sure if you're still in the hospital or not, but I wanted to reach out. I want to start by saying I really hope you're doing better and that I'm here for you. I also wanted to get off my chest that I know about the pregnancy and everything. I don't think any less of you, and you don't have to pretend around me. I just want you to know you can talk to me about it if you want. I would really like to have a conversation with you about this. If you even want to come over and talk too, you can." And that was on the 18th. October 21st, 2022 at 6:02 p.m., she wrote, "Hey, I just got out today. Are you mad at me?" And then 3 minutes later, she wrote, "I've been at an all-time low for months. I lied, and trust me, I feel terrible about it. I've been dealing with mental health problems for months, and honestly, it got bad, and I was so afraid to ask for help. I actually withdrew, and I'm taking a semester off." Which, that was another lie. She did not withdraw. She was, in fact, banned from campus and expelled. So I wrote, "Hey, I'm not mad at you. I'm glad you're out of the hospital. I really appreciate you being honest with me, and I'm sorry that you felt like you couldn't ask for help. That's a rough place to be in. I hope that your time off will be good for you and that you'll be in a better place by the end of it. I'd still really love and appreciate if you would come over sometime just to talk and explain everything, because I'm still a little confused, but take the time you need." She wrote, "Absolutely!" Exclamation point. October 27th, 2022 at 11:41 a.m. "Are you coming to my party Saturday? If so, what flavor Jello shots do you like?" I was baffled.
That's what her next response was?
Yep. I remember reading that, and I was like, are you ignoring the past couple texts? So I responded that night at 8:17 p.m. I wrote, "Hey, so I'm going to my friend's place on Saturday, but I could def stop by for a little while." I wasn't planning on it. I just was trying to be nice, I guess. And then she wrote, "Okay." I didn't end up going for obvious reasons. I was at my friend's house. It was a Halloween party, and I posted a picture. It's a picture of me and my friends at one of their houses. And she commented on my Be Real, just come over. Then November 2nd, 2022 at 4:48 p.m., she wrote, "Tomorrow, period, 6 p.m., period, Outback Steakhouse for my birthday, period. If you can come, I'd love to see you," with a heart and a star emoji. So then I wrote, "Hey, pretty girl, happy birthday. I'd love to come, but I'm meeting with one of my groups at 6:30. But I hope you have such a good time, and I'd love to hang out soon, maybe grab coffee or something. Because I still want to talk to her and have this conversation, and I feel like she's forgetting that I asked or just completely dodging it."
I didn't hear from her again until December 18th, where she sent me a photo of a board game. It was just completely out of the blue and random, and I didn't reply to that either. We didn't have like a huge falling out, but it's not like we ended our relationship on the best of terms. And then for her to just be like, so casual again, that goes back to my point where these things happen, and then she acts like, oh, that wasn't a big deal. It's the biggest deal in the moment, but then a few weeks later, who cares? But this is where Summer and I were able to kind of patch the story up together to solidify what we said. And Summer reached out to Allison saying that she knew that the pregnancy was fake and everything. I felt this weird mix of relief and also sadness. Even though she was lying to me, I still feel for her, and whatever is causing her to lie to this extent, there must be some sort of reason as to why. And I'm not going to excuse what she's doing and say it's okay, but I still felt sadness in that moment.
Well, and that's one of the reasons we ultimately decided to keep her identity private, because it's clear she's troubled. It's also clear she knows right from wrong. And it's also clear that her decisions and choices and actions affect people around her significantly. We can also have compassion for the fact that she's likely troubled and has some issues going on, whatever that might be.
For sure.
When this happened and she left school, was there a lot of talk amongst your classmates and other students about what had happened?
I didn't tell anybody in my class. I think I confided in some of my personal friends about this that was ongoing, because even though I knew she was lying to me during this time, it definitely was still a huge stressor in my life. I do care for people, and I want to make sure that she's okay when she's threatening to put herself in the hospital, or she's saying she's in a crisis or whatever. If you hear somebody speaking to you like that, even if they're lying to you, there's still a part of you that wants to make sure that they're okay. I just talked to some close friends and family that were outside of the circle that wouldn't spread it to be a bigger sort of gossip. And I did talk to James about it right after the baby had died, because he was like, our partner just had a miscarriage and then was expelled. Like, that's awful. And I had to let him know what was actually going on. I don't think I went into such great detail.
After everything's been settled and I'm just trying to learn more information about everything, this is my first conversation with her previous roommate, Kim. They had only been roommates for, I don't know how long it was, but it wasn't a long time. I said, "Hey, I'm so sorry if this is a sore subject. I know it's out of the blue, but would you be willing to talk to me about Allison?" And she said, "Hey, can I ask why?" And I basically told her about the podcast. She said, "That's wild. I'm trying to dig the trauma out of my brain because I blocked a lot of it out. But she threatened us and is a dangerous person, so we are a little scared of her, LMAO. We have a lot of pictures and videos and texts. I literally thought about writing a book about living with her. She caused so much distress and pain." And then she said, "How did you know her?" So I explained a little bit about how I knew her. "Thank you so much. Anything you have to offer will be so helpful." I also said, "I'm so sorry you went through all that. Even just the few months I was around her was emotionally taxing, so I can't even imagine what you went through. I'm not planning on sharing her real name, so hopefully that will help." And she said, "Wow, I can't believe anything that comes out of her mouth. She was definitely pregnant. I was with her taking the test. She took it because I was late and she wanted to make me feel better. Hers was positive and she had a bump. The truth about what happened to the baby is all over the place." I said, "Oh, wow, I had no idea she was actually pregnant at first. But I'm glad you got away from her. That must have been so crazy to live through." This is when she reached out with the picture. So she said, "Here's a picture of her, in quotes, pregnant."
Now, was this at the time they were roommates? This was Waverly's pregnancy?
Yes, this is the Waverly pregnancy, the big one.
The fake belly one.
Yes. So it's a picture of Allison. She's in a baggy t-shirt that you can noticeably see her bump, and she's wearing camo shorts, and then she's wearing these 2 or 3 inch heels. The best part, if you look at the background on the fridge.
Oh my God. The fridge has 1, 2, 3, like so many ultrasounds. It's the only thing basically on the fridge.
There's 2 like individual magnets alone, and then the rest is just magnets holding up the ultrasounds.
This is wild.
It's really a picture. It's very interesting. I started sharing my pictures of what she sent me. I sent her the 2 pictures of her with the newborn baby, the ones that are clearly photoshopped. And I said, this is 2 different babies, but the same day, question mark? And she said, oh yeah, we have the Photoshop proof. Found the original pictures. I said, OMG, no way. That's amazing. And then she said, this was the constant state of our house. She sends me 4 pictures first, and it's the one of the living room with the table covered in everything. I couldn't even name an object in this picture. It's just everything. And then the second picture is the kitchen, which is atrocious. And then the pictures of her room. It's even worse. A jar of pickles, Cheetos. Her laptop is upside down on top of some things on the floor. There are like 5 Shein bags unopened. Her bed is a wreck. Everything is just a mess. As you can see in the next 2 pictures, there are some Mike's Hard and a bottle of Tito's.
There's Smirnoff, clearly empty bottles. And you can see the empty bottles with the label off.
Yeah. And then she says, this was August 18th of 2022. She says, my whole theory is that she got pregnant, didn't know what to do, knew that she wasn't going to be a good mom and take care of the baby. She was already an alcoholic, so she just kept drinking. She didn't want to get an abortion because she represented herself as pro-life, so she went through the trouble of doing all of this just so she can basically abort the baby herself and blame it on a miscarriage. When I took her to the psych ward for the second time, she told the triage nurse that she gave birth and then the baby died. And then when she was in holding for the psychiatric unit, the doctor pulled me aside and said she told us that she miscarried, and I told them that we had no idea what actually happened to the baby, and we've always had a suspicion that something was incorrect. The day she, in quotes, gave birth, her car was at the clubhouse of our apartment. The clubhouse is like the middle part of our apartment complex, and there's just a clubhouse where they have like a movie theater you can rent out and a gym, things like that. So the day she gave birth, in quotes, she came home at 5 a.m. and locked herself in her room. Her car was at the clubhouse, and she was texting us the whole time pretending to be at the hospital. Oh, the lore. I said, what the heck? Oh my goodness, that's insane. Why would she even go to the efforts of buying a bump? She could have pretended to have a miscarriage early on and avoid all of it. And Kim said, but here's the thing. I never saw a fake bump, and she would always walk around naked at our house in the beginning. I know, gross, in parentheses. She's constantly posting pictures of her with an engagement ring and flowers, but there's no man. And she's, in quotes, working for the WNBA. Never ends. She's a pathological liar and manipulator. I think she needs to stay in a permanent facility where her habits and traits can be monitored. And I said, oh yeah, I've been saying that she's a pathological liar. That all makes a lot of sense.
I'd like to thank Jones Beauty for sponsoring today's episode. If you hate a heavy caked-on look and you prefer no brushes, no complicated routine, and to just use your fingers and go, you're gonna love Jones Beauty. The best part of Jones Beauty is that all of their products are actually good for your skin. Every formula is packed with skin-loving ingredients that nourish your skin instead of clogging or caking. It looks and feels natural, like you're not wearing any makeup at all. Their new foundation stick is a skincare-forward foundation that delivers buildable, real coverage while feeling completely weightless on your skin. And it's available in 30 shades to match a wide range of skin tones. Modern-day makeup that's clean, strategic, and multifunctional for effortless routines. For a limited time, our listeners are getting a free full-sized mascara on their first purchase when they use code SWW at checkout. Just head to jonesroadbeauty.com and use code SWW at checkout. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them our show sent you. Thank you so much.
I said to Kim, do you remember Nevaeh coming around a lot? Nevaeh, Allison's ex-best friend. And she said, oh Lord, yeah. And I said, they used to be best friends, but apparently they hate each other as of like a week or so ago. Kim said, I don't know how Allison got her to stay around so long. And I said, probably had no idea about all this. I wonder what her parents know. Kim said, I hate to say it, but Allison's a good manipulator.
I said, because they have to know she was expelled and banned from campus, but like, do they know everything? Had me fooled for 3 months. And Kim said, her parents are extremely protective over her, and rightfully so. I think they're fully aware that their daughter is mentally ill, but they will basically bury a body for her. They won't let their daughter get in trouble for anything and are very in denial. And I said, so they know about the pregnancy stuff and how she faked a lot of it? And Kim said, her dad tries to stay out of it all. Her mom is her lifeline. She said, let's just make a documentary. I think we all know a different story. And I said, wow, yeah, even the story about how she got pregnant is all over the place. And she said, oh God, what did she tell you? I said, I've heard 4 different stories about just that, LOL. She said her ex-boyfriend Jake got her pregnant and she won a court case against him because he raped her. Kim said, Jake, in quotes, was a one-night stand. She bragged about how amazing the sex was and how they did it all over the house. A while later, she claimed rape. She never went to court. She did keep that other girl in the story, but she never said she was underage. Kim said, she also stated that Jake's mom was with her during the birth and that she was someone who was always by her side. She didn't want me to come to the hospital, me meaning Kim. And then she sent a screenshot from Allison, and it's Kim saying, what's his Instagram? And she says, hold on, and I'll send it to you. I'll send his profile via Insta. And then Kim says, I thought his name was Logan. And then Allison says, Logan was the first one, Jake was the second. Jake was no condom Tinder dude, but now he's also on your gender reveal invite. Okay. So then I said, in replying to the gender reveal picture I sent, so I'm assuming you did not get this invite then. And then Kim said, I did. Jake was the one night stand that got her pregnant and, in quotes, raped her. Jake couldn't come to the gender reveal, of course. And I said, so if he raped her, why would he be co-hosting the party? And she said, ah, yes, that was not Jake. That was another guy. And I said, another Jake? And she said, she gave us so many names, I couldn't tell you which one was which. And I said, wow, there's so much. And she said, yeah, she was with someone new nearly every night. And I said, sounds like it.
So when she was still at school, and you guys aren't supposed to have sex, right? Under your school law. I think that's an important element to underline here is not only is she talking about like putting it blatantly in text about sex and drinking and all this stuff, from a Christian sort of experience, that's very nuanced. Like Christians have all sorts of beliefs about those things and that's their right. But at the school, you sort of like agree.
Yes. Even the most wild people that I knew at school didn't act like that. I didn't care what anyone did as long as it wasn't affecting me. But if people went out and drank and had sex or did whatever, they weren't going around sharing that, especially with people they're not close to, I guess.
It's almost like she's forcing the relationship too, because you weren't that close. You didn't consider her a confidant.
Correct.
You wouldn't have been sharing your secrets with her. So it's almost like that thing that sometimes people do where they sort of like trauma dump to try and like make you closer faster.
That is what it felt like. And I think it stemmed too from when she first really met me back in August. I told her I was going out to this bar for my 21st birthday. I think she got this impression of me that, oh, well, she goes out and parties. I can tell her everything now. And she's going to be this close person to me that we can share stories. But it just wasn't like that. It did feel forced a lot of the time because I would just be minding my own business, hanging out with my own friends. And I would get a random Snapchat from her saying, just had sex. And I said, so do you think if she was actually pregnant, that it was from a one night stand with a guy probably named Jake? And she said, yeah, I don't know if the name is real. But she was definitely pregnant. I watched her take all of her tests. And I said, what was her reaction? And she said, she really didn't have a big one. She seemed shocked, but wasn't freaking out. I said, I wonder if she already knew at that point. How far along would she have been then? And she said, I don't know. We were trying to figure out the timeline. And then I sent the screenshot of her telling me the timeline and said, if this helps, LOL. It's her saying she's due in January, but might have her in October. If I get induced October 3rd, I'll be 27 weeks, which is 7 months. And then Kim said, this girl ain't never go to an appointment. She never left the house. She kept getting fired from jobs. And when she did leave, it was to go to McDonald's or to go shopping. And I said, she was constantly leaving class early and getting out of projects because of appointments. And she had a whole story about how her boss at a golf club wouldn't give her off to get an ultrasound. And Kim said, she said that about this other store in town and told me that the golf club wasn't paying her enough and she was bored. And then I screenshotted the picture of the fridge with the ultrasounds. And I said, wait, are these her ultrasounds? And Kim said, yes, she had them plastered everywhere and they were all sketchy. I said, I'd love to see her Photoshop history. And Kim said, she majored in graphic design. I was told she was majoring in my major. So that was also another questionable thing. That's the last I spoke with Kim, and then she stopped answering, but I don't blame her. I get it that she doesn't really want to be a part of this anymore. Around October 2023, a few days before Halloween, me and a couple friends went to this country line dancing bar. At one point, I went to the bathroom and I saw Allison. And as I was leaving, we kind of came really close to each other, almost face to face, to the point where it would have been weird if I didn't say anything. So I looked at her and I was like, "Hey, Allison, how are you?" At first, I thought maybe she'd be too scared to say anything to me, or she would deflect and walk away, say hi, and then leave. But she seemed okay to talk, and she was happy to tell me about her life and everything going on. She seemed really excited to see me, actually. I just remember asking her, like, "What are you up to now?" And she was telling me how she had transferred from our school to this new school, still in the same town. And she was explaining a little bit about her situation. I remember her telling me that she was graduating with a double major in, I want to say, communications and journalism. I did not ask her when she was going to be graduating because I knew that it was going to be later than I was and I didn't want to make her feel bad. So I didn't bring that up, but she brought it up on her own and she was saying that it's going to take her a little bit longer to graduate. But instead of saying because credits didn't transfer or because of all the things that I committed back at school, instead, she said that her journalism teacher was out on maternity leave and she wasn't able to take that one specific course she needed in the spring semester. And because of that, she had to delay her graduation a whole semester. And I just remember saying, "Oh, okay, yeah." But in my head, I'm thinking there's no way that that would be the case. It was funny that that was the narrative she chose and stuck with. So it almost made it seem like she wanted to prove to me that she's doing okay and it's a good thing she doesn't go to my school anymore.
Next time on Something Was Wrong.
Professor Key had explained to me that Allison was found stalking Professor Locke.
What's wild is after our first pre-interview meeting, I started digging into Allison's background, looking into her criminal record, if any, and we found that she had previous stalking charges when she was 17 years old in her home state where she was tried as an adult.
Isabel texted me about her moving sale. Allison was claiming to be pregnant. So we were going to go and just check it out.
Thank you to each and every survivor and guest for sharing their experiences with us. Something Was Wrong is a Broken Cycle Media production created, hosted, and executively produced by me, Tiffany Reese. Special thank you and shout out to my co-producer, Amy B. Chesler, who also hosts our sister podcast, What Came Next, which you should absolutely check out if you haven't already. Thank you to our social media maven, Lauren Barkman of Luxury Media, and our glorious graphic artist, Sarah Stewart. Thank you to our amazing audio team, our head audio engineer, Becca High, with additional editing support by Stephen Wack. Thank you to our behind-the-scenes partners, our lawyers, accountants, agents, cybersecurity, delivery workers, and anyone who contributes to the work we do. Thank you. Last but certainly not least, thank you for listening. If you want to help support the work we do, you can purchase a sticker from our shop at BrokenCycleMedia.com or become a community contributor on Apple Podcasts. Other ways you can help support the show are by leaving us a review or sharing the show with your loved ones. Or hey, even those you don't love. They might need it most. Until next time, stay safe, friends.
Stop the podcast!
Stop the podcast!
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.